Amen. Welcome to The Rock. My name is Miles. I'm the pastor. Why don't you turn to the person next to you? Here's what I want you to say. I might need your help this morning. And I'll explain to you what that is. Six. Sorry. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. If you are a visitor, welcome to The Rock. We are in week two of a series called Who is Jesus Really? Really? Let's do a little quiz while we're here. Matter of fact, quick announcement. If you have children, we have Rock Academy, and we have staff, Rock Academy staff in the back, talk to you about your kids, your children's in school, and we have a drama ministry we're kicking off. So if you acted in high school or you want to act and think you all that and want to be on TV, don't get in this ministry. No, I'm kidding. We need actors. We want to put on more dramas and skits, and they're taking sign-ups, so we appreciate you signing up for that. Let's do a little quiz. How many books in the Bible? 66. How many books in the Bible? 66. Everyone say 66? 66. How many in the Old Testament? 39. Everyone say 39? 39. What's 3 times 9? 27. So therefore, how many books in the New Testament? 27. Very good. So if you're new, 3 times 9 is 27. It's 39 books in the Old. 3 times 9 is 27. 27 books in the New. My parents live in Florida. They were here for Easter, and they decided to move out of here, so they're backpacking their house, and they're moving from a house. They got like 3,000 square foot for $2, and they're coming out here to get an apartment for $90 million. So they have to get rid of a lot of stuff, and they're going through packing, just making plans for the trip. And, you know, my dad's stressing. He's just stressing over all that stuff. But I can imagine all the packing they have to do, because whenever I go visit them, I spend about the first hour in the house walking through all the rooms, looking at all the pictures. Because they have a lot of pictures that I don't have of our family, of our immediate family, brothers and sisters, and then parents, and then grandparents and aunts, and vacations, and football. And my brother was, I have another brother who's a professional boxer. I have another brother who's a professional football player, and he was a Heisman runner-up. So we got all these pictures and all this stuff that I don't get to see. So we go through all the house, and I, you know, grandparents, great-great-grandfather, got a picture of him. He was probably about 317 years old in this picture. But, you know, it's just great to see your ancestors. But if you came to my parents' house and didn't see a picture of me amidst all these pictures, you would doubt whether I was their child. Amen? I mean, I would be hot because I am their son. If they had pictures, everybody else didn't have a picture of me. The same is true with the Bible. If Jesus really is the Messiah, the Logos, the Word, if he really is God and he's eternal, there should be pictures of him throughout the whole Bible. It's very important for you to understand that. Jesus did not come on the scene when he was born to Mary. He's been on the scene since before. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it's through him everything was made. He was their creation. But not only are there pictures of him, metaphors, and one metaphor would be the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, right before the Jews were being delivered from Egypt, they had to kill a lamb, put the blood in the door. Jesus is the lamb that was slain in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, in the Holy of Holies, they had the holy, holy place. They had a candle that gave light. Jesus is the light of the world. They had the bread in the holy place for the priest to eat. Jesus is the bread of life. There's a whole lot of metaphors of him and a lot of stories that point to what he did on the cross for us. There's actually scripture to describe him dying on the cross. But there are also incidences of Christ himself as a man, as a person, or someone you see in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, obviously, is Jesus. What we're going to do is today, we're going to look at the common thread of all these sightings of God Because in every one of the ones I'm going to talk about today, he was dealing with fire. Everyone say fire. 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 Okay, let's read our opening statement there. It says, The Who Is Jesus Really series is designed to maximize the ability of the people of the Rock to understand and defend the identity of Christ as outlined in the Bible. This series is designed to help you identify and understand who Christ is as the Bible says. Remember, next week we're going to talk about the Trinity. The week after that, we're going to talk about who Jesus himself said he was. And we're going to see a little bit of that today. Did he say he was God? Did his critics, 1 week we're going to talk about his critics. 1 week we're going to talk about the demon and the devils. Did they say he was God? Did his apostles say? Well, that's another week. There's so much evidence to confirm that Christ is God. It's overwhelming. It's ridiculous. You need to know what that is. So when people start saying stuff, you can go, no, boom, 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 boom. Today we're going to look at Christ in the whole Bible. And again, you could do, there's volumes of books and all this stuff. We're just going to look at a few. And each one we look at today, we're going to see that he's dealing with fire. That's why the title is Fireman I Am. Let's go over a new word we're going to teach you. Say theophany. Theophany. Thea is God in Greek. Theology or theology is the study of God. Biology is the study of biosystems. Okay. Psychology is the study of psyche. Theology is the study of thea, God. We're going to look at theophany. Theophany is an appearance of God before man, like an epiphany. A theophany is an appearance of God. Now, in the New Testament, we have Christ, so we don't need, he's the theophany. He's God in the flesh. In the Old Testament, we're going to look at these theophanies, and we're going to look at old and new, but in the Old Testament, they call them theophanies. Every single one is going to be with fire. Now, what's interesting about fire is when you think of fire, you think of something that's painful. You think of something that's harmful. You think of something bad, death, hell, heat. Stay away from it. Fear it. Respect it. But you have to understand, God uses fire for good things. God uses fire to purify us, to test us. He uses fire to take us to another level. We're going to see some of that in a minute. And in the Bible, God speaks from fire. He led the Jews through the wilderness in a pillar of fire. He was in the pillar for 40 years, the Bible says. The God, he approves of sacrifices with his fire. He answered prayers and judged the sinful with fire. But he answered the prayers of his godly prophets by fire. So he uses fire in a good way. And the interesting thing about fire is that we all know we don't mess with fire. What was the one thing your parents told you when you were little? Don't play with fire. Why? Because fire will jack you up. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that in the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night, and all the elements, the earth, everything, is going to melt with fervent heat. God is going to judge the earth with fire. The first judgment was water, Noah's Ark. He flooded the earth. The second judgment is fire. He's going to burn us up. We don't want to mess with fire. So look at first point number one, we're going to look at Jesus validates his divinity by fire by, one, establishing his divine presence and introducing his name. Chapter 3, verse 1, Moses is walking in the wilderness with his sheep. It says Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, verse 1, chapter 3, Exodus, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord, everyone say angel of the Lord. Anytime you see angel of the Lord with a capital A in the Old Testament, it's talking about Jesus. Anytime you see angel of the Lord with a capital A in the Old Testament, talking about Jesus. He is a representative of God. This is a theophany. This representative of God shows up as an angel, man, or whatever is his appearance, and he is representing God. That is a theophany. That is God. So here the angel, and you'll see in a minute, we'll confirm it. It says in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of the fire from the bush. He looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but it was not consumed. So Moses is walking, he sees his fire burning, and his bush in the fire. The bush is not burned. And the verse 3 says, Moses says, I will go over and see yonder and see this great sight, why this bush does not burn. Verse 4, he went And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called to him. Who called to him from the midst of the fire? Who called to him from the midst of the fire? And who's the angel of the Lord? Same person. It's God. He's saying, look, the angel of the Lord is in the fire. He says, Moses, come over here. Look what he says to him. He says, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. He says, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for where you stand is holy ground. A couple things you have to understand. You never worship angels. The only person that can be worshipped is God. So whenever you see this angel of the Lord or Jesus himself accepting or commanding worship, he is saying, I'm God. Jesus himself told Satan in Matthew chapter 4, you should worship no other God but God alone. Worship nothing, no idol, God alone. So here, the angel of the Lord, God, is saying, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. This is who's speaking. The angel of the Lord, capital A, God, same person, commanding worship, same person. All this is tied together that this is God. Now look at verse 13. Verse 13, the Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say, what is his name? What shall I say? This is the first time God revealed his personal name to man. And look what it says in verse 14. God said to Moses. Who said to Moses? Who's the angel of the Lord? God. God said to Moses, I am that I am. This is my name. He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am sent me to you. I am is the name of God. It is Jehovah. We call Yahweh Jehovah. It is a word the Jews would never say. They took the vowels out of it so no one would pronounce it because it was so holy. And so we don't really know how to pronounce it. So we say Jehovah or Yahweh. It means I am that I am. I independently exist. That means I have eternally existed from past. I will eternally exist in the future. And I am existent right now. I have not been created. I am the undisputed champion of the whole world, ever to be ever champion. No one will ever dethrone me. I am that I am, always was, always will be, I am now. This is his name. It means more than all that. That's what he's saying. I am. Now, that's God saying his name. Now turn to John chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Everyone say Matthew, Mark. Say Luke, John. These are the four gospels. Say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now say them all by yourself. What are the four gospels? Gospel means good news. What does gospel mean? What does gospel mean? That's what gospel means, good news. And the good news is that Jesus died for us and provided us a way out. That's the good news. Very simple. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Look at John chapter 8. John, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and they're grilling him. The Pharisees are the religious, uptight, out of sight, up, stuck up. I'm all that in a bag of chips. Religious leaders thought they had something on Jesus, could always try to trick him. And they're questioning him, interrogating him, seeing if he's legit, trying to catch him in a lie so they can stone him. Can't catch Jesus in a lie. Look at verse 48. This is hilarious. The Jews answered and said to Jesus, Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus, you have a demon. Jesus says, I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. What is Jesus saying? Would a prophet say, obey me and you'll live? No, only God. God's word is the only word we obey to see life. What Jesus is saying is, look, you do what I say, you'll live. He can only say that if he was the Lord. No angel would ever say that. No prophet would ever say that. He's saying, if you obey me, you'll live. Okay? And they know what he's saying. Let's keep reading. Verse 52. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham's dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, a liar. But I do know him and keep his word. Look what he says in verse 56. Your father Abraham, by the way, Abraham is the father of faith. He is the father of the Jewish nation. He is the man to the Jews. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. and he saw it and was glad. Now, here's Jesus, he's 30-something years old. He's saying, your father Abraham, thousands of years ago, rejoiced to see me. And they're like, you're tripping, because look what it says next. Verse 57, the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? And look what Jesus says. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Ooh. Now, you may think, well, they're just playing on words. No, no. He's saying, the I am that y'all know about, Jew boys, you know. You remember the fire, Moses, I am, the first time you heard God's name, Jehovah. See, we're reading I am. What he's saying is Yahweh. We're reading English. In Hebrew, he says, before Abraham was, Yahweh, I am. Now, okay, I'm making it up. Let's keep reading. Look what they did. They took up stones to throw at him. Why? Because they wanted to kill him. By Jewish law, you had to kill him. Because they knew exactly what he was saying. But Jesus hid himself and went out the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, you know what it says Jesus went through the midst of them? It's very critical. All these guys are surrounding him, getting ready to stone him, and because it wasn't his time, he just walked by. Bye. See y'all later. No, you can't touch me. It wasn't his time. What he said is, look, before Abraham was, I am. I am Jehovah. I am God. And so this angel of the Lord in the fire is Christ himself. So Christ uses fire to establish his divine presence. Number two, he uses fire to execute divine judgment on sinful man. Turn to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 18, first book in the Bible. All the way to the beginning. If you don't know anything about the Bible, you know where the beginning is. Genesis 18. 18 is the number of the chapter. Genesis 18. Abraham is sitting by his tent in the cool of the day, just relaxing. And it says in chapter 18, verse 1, that we're going to see that God, the Lord, is going to judge by fire. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth trees of Mamre, and as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes, Abraham did, and behold, three men were standing by him, and when he saw them, he ran from the tent to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. What happens is the Lord comes with two angels. And they are on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah to judge Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sin in the city. Because the Bible says the outcry of the people in the city were crying out to God because of the wickedness. This city had sexual sin. And they're crying out to God. And by the way, the sexual sin was homosexuality. It was one of the sexual sins. It was sexual perversion. And these angels go down to the cities and these men come to the city banging on the door saying, bring those men out that we may have sex with them. And so they're in the city, the people are crying out to God because of the wickedness in the city. Now, let me tell you something. When you pray, you do not pray to angels. You do not pray to saints. Saints cannot answer your prayers. I know some of you believe that they can. You've been told that. It's not true. It's not biblical. It's not in the Bible. And you pray to God alone. So this God, this angel says, the outcry has come to me. We're not going to read it, but it's in the story. People have been praying out to me. And I've come down to see if it's so. And if it's so, I'm going to judge it. And he's going to judge it by fire. Turn to chapter 19, verse 22. The angels go down. They rescue Abraham's relatives. And then it says in verse 22, chapter 19, hurry, escape, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. The angels are telling Lot and his family they have to get out of the city. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, which is where they ran to. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar, and the Lord rained down brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. The Lord rained down fire. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 that there is a hell, and the Bible says that the hell was designed for the devil and his angels / demons, really what they are. And that the people who, in that particular story, is talking about people who don't minister to other people. One of the evidences of people who don't walk with Christ is that people who don't have any compassion for other people. And he says that they will be in that fire. When you die, If you die with your sin unforgiven, you will stand before God, and God has to judge you. He cannot let you into heaven without your sin being forgiven. It wouldn't be fair to those who repented. He wouldn't be keeping to his word. Because he says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved from the fire where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's just giving us a little warning here. I do judge sin. Sin does have consequences. The Bible said sin has consequences. Think about it for a minute. Have you ever had consequences for your sin? Say amen if you have. You know why? It's law. It's spiritual law. God set it up. He can't contradict himself. You have to suffer for your sin. Now, because of God's grace, he's protecting you. The only reason we're still alive is because he's giving you time to repent. But in the end, when you die, the punishment for sin is death, and the death is fire. Now, I know death is never a happy thing, but there are some good ways to die and some bad ways to die. What I mean by that? A good way to die is you're 100-something years old, your family's all walking with God, and you've done your duty, and you just fall asleep, and you wake up in heaven. That's a good way. Anyway, amen? Amen. Yeah, you know, everyone's around, you just kind of, and you just fall asleep and go to heaven. That's a good way to die. I was witness to a man, I don't know how old he is, he's in his 70s, and it was about a week before Christmas, and he got saved. And it was like 2 weeks before Christmas. And the next week, actually it wasn't even a week, it was a few days later, he called all his family to his room. He said, I have an announcement to make. Sons, wife, grandkids, great-grandkids. And he said, I asked Jesus into my heart. He just wanted all of them to know. Man, and that's how you, and he's still alive, but that's how you want to go knowing, hey, I'm good. Here's a way you don't want to die, by fire. Now, I hear drowning is a peaceful death. I don't want to find out, but I heard that it's just very peaceful. You know, as you're freaking out knowing you're going to die, somehow there's peacefulness to that. I don't know. I would imagine what they're saying is that as you breathe the water, it's not painful. You just kind of expire. You know, I don't know. That's what I heard. And, you know, who's going to tell you that? Oh, yeah, it happened to me 3 times. It was really good. I'm sure CSI can figure out why that is. But I know one thing, fire by death is not a good thing. But you know the thing about hell is that you don't die, you suffer. Hell, Bible says, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, it's ongoing pain and misery. We did a sermon on Sodom and Gomorrah. We actually had pictures of the asphalt pits that archaeologists found in the ground that burnt up the city. They actually found these little asphalt balls that coincide with to confirm the story that God rained down fire and brimstone on the actual location. God's just saying, look, don't mess with me. The fire that I have is a good fire. If you respond to God's fire and you let it purify you, as we're going to see next, it's a good thing. But if you fight it, it's a bad thing. Number 3, God validates his divinity by fire by initiating a purifying process through baptism. Turn to Matthew chapter 3, a purifying process. Matthew 3, first book in the New Testament. Everyone say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Gospel means? How many books in the Bible? John is baptizing in the water. When you get baptized and you get dunked in the water does not purify your sin. And because we do it in the bay, you are probably more funky when you come out than when you went in. I'm just saying. Just saying. All that is symbolic. It's symbolic of you going in the grave and resurrecting. It's symbolic of you being washed of your sin. But it is just symbolic. Look what John says in Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He who is coming after me, is Jesus he's talking about, is mightier than I, and whose sandal I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Everyone say fire. He's going to wash you. With the Holy Spirit's going to come live in your heart. And fire. Not physical fire. Holy Spirit fire. It's going to cleanse you. When you're born, you're a sinner. And you have sinful thoughts, sinful feelings. You can't help yourself. You're just naughty by nature. And as you grow up, you become naughtier. Doesn't mean you can't do good things. Doesn't mean you can't help people. No, no, no. But your nature is always about self-preservation. It's always about me in one form or another. And we all express that differently. That sinful nature is doomed to die. Christ came and died for us, paid the penalty for our sinfulness, that he may grant us eternal life. He can't grant it to you unless you ask for it and repent of your sin. And so here you are walking around and realize, you know, I don't want to die and go to hell. When my body's heart stops beating, I want to go to heaven. But because I'm a sinner, I need someone to forgive me and cleanse me. Not of physical water, by Holy Spirit fire. Jesus came and he's offering that to you. So what John's saying is, listen, I'm just, this stuff is symbolic, and you know, yeah, let's get baptized. But the guy coming after me, he wants to cleanse your soul with fire. But he can only do that if you ask him and repent of your sin and let him do the supernatural work in your heart that only he can do. He's the only one that can change your desires, change your thoughts, change your perspective. He's the only one that can change what you say and how you react to stressful situations or positive situations. Only he can do that. Here's the other thing about fire. What's the interesting thing about fire is, have you ever seen fire go down? Fire never goes down. It always burns up. Now, it may burn down and around something, but eventually it's going to go up. Like if this is on fire, the fire on the bottom may come down and get around it, the speaker, but then it will eventually go up. Fire always goes up. And fire doesn't destroy. Fire separates. If this whole building burnt down, we would say it was destroyed because the form changed. But everything, all the matter, physical matter of this building would not be destroyed. It would just change form. What God wants to do with his Holy Spirit fire is change your form. How you think, how you reason, how you act. And he wants to take your form to a whole nother level. That's what he wants to do. And so when you get back, when John's saying, he said, look, this guy coming after me, he wants to, with you with Holy Spirit fire, change the way you think and take your whole spirituality, your whole level of sensitivity and peace and patience and kindness and power to a whole nother level. That's what God wants to do with his fire. He doesn't want to kill you with it. He wants to transform you with it and purify you with it. That's a good thing. Number four, he wants to display his divine approval of your intentions. In other words, God is going to test your works with fire. You know that in the end, when we all die, we're going to stand before God and everybody's going to be judged, even Christians. You're going to come before God and God's going to say, bring all your good works. And I don't know how it's going to happen, but he's going to do it. And all your good works are going to be before God. And it's all the good deeds you think you did, all the money you gave, all the prayers you prayed, all the encouragement you gave, all the service you did in ministry. And he's going to lay it out before it. It's all represented somehow. And God's going to test to see if it's legitimate, and he's going to test it with fire. If your boyfriend ever buys you a ring, diamond, or if he bought you a chain, it was gold in color. And you put that ring on or that bracelet on. After a while, if it was fake, it would turn what color?
Green.
Green. Now, that cheap bracelet didn't need to be tested by fire. It fooled him at the store, or he thought to fool you in the dark movie theater where he gave it to you. We go to God and say, God, look at all this good stuff I did. He'll go, mm-hmm. Okay, we'll see. I don't know if this is going to happen, but he can call one of his angels. Gabriel, bring out the fire. And all the stuff that you've done that is not by faith, it's going to be burnt up. And some of y'all are going to think you're bringing truckloads of all these good deeds, and it's going to end up being one little kernel. And that little kernel is your salvation. That's the only thing you did. 1 Corinthians 13, 3:13, you can read that later. It talks about that. Next one is fire. Jesus validates his divinity through fire by exercising his divine vision. Exercising divine vision. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. The book of Revelation is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Those are the first five words of the book. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you get a glimpse of many aspects of Christ. But in chapter 2, verse 18, we're going to see that he has eyes of fire. Chapter 2, verse 18, Revelation is the last book of the Bible. Genesis is the first book. Revelation is the last book. How many books in the Bible? 66. So that means Revelation is the what book? 66 book. And Genesis is the what book? First. Genesis means beginnings. Look at verse 18, chapter 2. It says, and to the angel of the church of Thyatira, the angel of the church is the pastor, write these things, says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire. Now, what does that mean? That Christ, is he walking around with eyes of fire like this? The flames coming out? He sees everything differently than you. Man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. He don't care if you got Christian Dior or Gap on. He don't care if you got mascara or just some no mascara. Because some of it's scary, you know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to gossip. That's not his issue. His issue is your heart. His eyes aflame see everything in your life. If you are fronting, F-O-F-R-O-N, what does fronting mean, honey? Means being fake, or, you know, acting one way but not really being another. Coming to church with your Bible, but yet you're beating your wife Saturday night. Coming to church with your Bible, drunk up in Tijuana, acting crazy. In little peep shows with the prostitutes. You fronting. Drunk all weekend, praising God on Sunday. You fronting. God knows, not stupid. He's got eyes of fire. He don't even need eyes of fire to see that. But he sees even beyond that. He sees your thoughts. Some of you right now are thinking some bad things right now. Who do you think he is saying that? You may be tripping that you were thinking that. God knows. And God says, I know you're a sinner. I know you're doomed to hell. But guess what? I died for you too. And I want to forgive you, too. And I want to bless you, too. That's why we're here. That's a good thing. That's a real good thing. The last one. If Jesus validates his divinity by using fire, by displaying his ability to protect believers from judgment. Turn to Daniel chapter 3. Old Testament prophets. Major prophet. Daniel 3. This is indeed one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. Nebuchadnezzar's king. Nebuchadnezzar was the man. Nebuchadnezzar built an idol of himself 60 feet high, 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and he had a ceremony. And he said, when the music plays, everybody bow to my idol. When you hear Michael Jackson go, oh, I want you to bow and acknowledge me as the man. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with Jewish boys now grown up, say, well, no, we don't bow to any idol. That's one of the Ten Commandments. So we ain't bowing. Now, the punishment was you get thrown in the fiery furnace. And they heated the furnace 7 times its normal heat. fire. So they have the idol, the statue, crowd is there, music playing, boom, 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 boom. And then everybody goes, oh, and everyone goes, oh, you the man, Nebuchadnezzar, you the man, you the man. Shout me, shout me, go say, we ain't bound. We ain't bound. And Nebuchadnezzar's like, what? Let's take it from the top. Y'all better bow, you're going in the fire. This is what happened. Y'all have to read the story on your own. It's an amazing story. They play the music again. They rewind, bow, da, 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 da. Oh, everyone bows. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, we ain't bound. So they tie them up. Chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verse. Let's go to verse 20. The Bible says, verse 19, my bad, Bible says verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor, big Mike Tyson-looking brothers with gold teeth, said to in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into burning fiery furnace. These big ultimate fighter dudes, tie them up. Verse 21, these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. It says, therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the fire exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, the mighty men of valor who tied them up and was taking them in, the fire leaped out and killed, K-I-L-T, killed those dudes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all tied up going, looking at these Christian critters on the ground thing, they're dead, we're not. The Bible says they fell in. My theory, this is my own personal theory, that he jumped in. Why do I believe that? Two reasons. One, if someone who's taking me to throw me in is dead, how's he pushing me in? And number two, I believe they saw that God was with them because they didn't get burnt. They didn't get singed, as we're going to see in a minute. And they said, okay, we're going in. And they went in. It doesn't matter. They ended up in the fire. Look what it says in verse 23. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke to his council, said, didn't we cast three men into the fire? And they said, yeah, king. He says, look, verse 25, I see four loose walking in the fire, and they're not even hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Jesus. Who's the man? Now, let me clarify. This is not the angel. It's the Son of God. Jesus is walking around the fire. Now, you have to understand something. Jesus used fire to judge sin. He used fire to reveal his name and to attract attention to the bush so Moses would go over and then tell him his name. He spoke from fire. He baptizes you with fire. He purges your sin with fire. He tests your intentions with fire. He led the Jews through the wilderness by fire. He's also the only one who can protect you from fire. When you die, the Bible says it's appointed for a man to die one time. I was talking to a lady recently who was talking about reincarnation. You know what the Bible says? You die one time and then you face God. You do not die once and then come back and die another time, then come back and die another time. You die one time and you face God. And the only question God's going to ask you is, what did you do with my son Jesus? He was in the Bible from the beginning to the end. You heard the sermon about the fire, didn't you? Remember that? He was in the Bible from the beginning, Genesis, all the way to Revelation. In every book, there's some allusion to Christ. He died on the cross, claimed he was God 8,000 different ways. That's just a number I picked out. It has not necessarily 8,000, but a whole bunch. And there were illustrations and blatant statements that he is the one who can deliver you from the fire. The Bible talks about us snatching people from the fire. And Peter, when you share the gospel and get someone saved, and God gets them saved through you, you are snatching them from the fire. Some of you, if you die, not some of you, all of you, if you die without Christ, you have nothing to look forward to but fire. No one's praying you out of anywhere. There's no holding tank before hell. Once you die, you face God after that. There is no intermediate stage. Nothing can be done for you. So in a few minutes, you're going to have an opportunity to say, to acknowledge, yes, Lord, I want to be forgiven. I want to repent of my sin and accept the salvation and forgiveness that only Jesus, I am, the fireman, can give me the forgiveness, the cleansing, the purification, and the safety from fire that only he can give. Because no one else can save you. There is only one plan of salvation. If you know of one, you need to tell us. But let me tell you something. You would call Jesus a liar because the Bible says there's no name under heaven by which men may be saved but his name. That means the Bible's not true. So he has all these illustrations that we can't miss it. That he's the one who can deliver you from the fire. And as these guys were going in the fire, I believe, this is my opinion again, once they saw the mighty men of valor dead, they realized we're safe because God is on our side. If you ask Christ to be your Savior, you are safe. You know what? I'm not going to hell. I'm going to die and go to heaven. Now, I hope to be an old, crusty old man, but I know I'm going to heaven. We want the same for you. You don't want to play with fire, just like your mama told you. Because the Bible says a man cannot scoop fire in his lap and be burned without being burned. You can't. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that you are a God who forgives. We thank you so much that you are a God who cleanses and purifies. We thank you so much that you are God who knows all of our sins, all of our faults, and yes, you love us anyway. Lord, there may be somebody here this morning who realizes they are a sinner, and they know the penalty is death, and that death is by fire. Nobody wants to die by fire or suffer by fire, but they also know that you as God can protect us from the fire. You are the one being that's immune to fire's heat. You inhabit flames. You speak from flames. You ascended to heaven in Judges chapter 13 in a flame. You judge with flame. You baptize, purify with flame. If you realize today that you are a sinner, that Jesus died for your sin and rose from the dead, and you want him to forgive you, you want him to baptize you with this fire, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. But as you pray, you must have faith and believe these things are true, that he loves you, that he died for you and rose from the dead, and that he indeed will forgive you today. So in the privacy of your heart, if you would like Christ to forgive you, pray this prayer. Pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong and that the penalty is death. Death by fire. But I believe Jesus is the Lord. He can save me from fire, deliver me from fire, protect me from fire. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please come live in my heart. Please be my Savior and my Master. This morning, right now, I ask. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you pray that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up by and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. If you pray that prayer to surrender your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you in a minute to stand up, and by standing, you are acknowledging, yes, I belong to him now. He has taken my life to another level, and I'm committed to that. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you pray that prayer right now, just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Acknowledge that he is now your Lord and your Savior. God bless you. 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 God bless all of you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Stay standing. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Very good. Eyes closed, heads bowed. This is the best decision you ever made in your life. God is going to do an amazing thing in your life. Anybody else, stand to your feet. Many of you are standing. Good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Take advantage of this opportunity. Anybody else? God bless you. Many of you are standing. Good. God bless you. Stay standing, please. God bless you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Just be praying. All of you who are saved, be praying for these people. God bless you. Good. Now we're going to ask all of you, and you are many of you standing, to do one more thing. As we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask you to come out of your seat and walk down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. You don't have to go anywhere. God bless you. Stay right here. Stay right here. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. Stay right here. God bless you. Stay right here. Stay right here. Stay right here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. Stay right here. God bless you. Stay right here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Who's the man? Who's the man? God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 How you doing? Hello. How you doing? The Bible says that if you confess your sin, God's faithful and just to forgive you. God can't lie. That means you're forgiven. That means he has a whole new plan. That fire he's burning now, he wants to change your life. That's it. Life is so simple. It's simply this. Do what God says. That's it. If you think back in your life, all the trouble comes when you don't do what God says. Period, end of story. God is not an opinion. He is the opinion. And that book is the book he gave us. He didn't get it right. He didn't get it wrong. He got it right the first time. We all know, amen? When we get in trouble, we go, yeah, I did it. Mm-hmm. We don't like people telling us that, but we know it. Y'all made a good decision today. In a minute, we're going to ask y'all, amen. Let's pray for these people, and in a minute, y'all are going to walk. Follow that young lady right there, and we're going to walk you this way and give you something. Next week, two things. We're going to talk about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. We're going to talk about that. No big deal. And so bring somebody. Amen? This week, the eyes of fire, they be watching. Ask God to turn the heat up in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we pray for these people. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you so much for their courage and faith to come forward. And we pray you honor their faith. Lord, baptize us with fire. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can just walk that way.